Living in God's Presence. That's next on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lot, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Welcome once again to Sound Doctrine, online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Great to have you with us as we return to Pastor Jeff Johnson's series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've reached Matthew chapter 6 today, where you could say we've entered a practical portion of Scripture. We'll be talking about practicing righteousness and practicing the presence of God. For some, it's comforting to realize God is with me at all times, and others, it makes them uneasy. Here's Pastor Jeff with his message, Living in His Presence.
So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 this morning, as we are starting a new chapter. In Matthew chapter 6, we are going on with the Sermon on the Mount. Now remember, in Matthew 5, we looked at a Christian's characteristics. If you want to know what is a Christian, you need to read Matthew chapter 5. It gives you a real good description. How we're to react to this world and how the world reacts to us is right there. So it's kind of the internal aspects of kingdom living. What happens within a Christian's heart in their lives? Chapter 6 is a new section. The Lord takes us now into a new direction and shows us the external aspects of kingdom living. Of course, the first section that we got in chapter 5 was talking about how we are to live. And now in chapter 6, it's living and the practical living in obedience unto the Lord. We're actually getting into some now good illustrations on how we are to be living in obedience to Him. I looked up a scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 where it says, "Wherefore," talking with us as Christians, "come out from amongst them, come out of the world, be ye separate, says the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." So it's a very practical thing that we as Christians are different than the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world, so we're to come out from amongst them. And so we are to live different lives in the presence of our God. And so these are the practical things of walking with the Lord. Chapter 5, we read about possessing righteousness. And now in chapter 6, we're going to talk about practicing righteousness. The first area we're going to discuss this morning is the religious life of the believer, or the relationship that we have with God. And then later on, we're going to move on into the practical living in chapter 6. Here, Jesus is informing us. In fact, He is warning us. He says, "Take heed." Now, anytime the Scripture says, and especially when the Lord says, "Take heed," He's saying, stop for a moment, because you're about to enter and go over a threshold you need to really be thinking about. It's a very important area for every single one of us in our lives. So take heed. Now, He's also going to be sharing with us that the Christian life is not free from problems. There are very, very many snares set for us. There are traps set for us. And so He was saying, listen up, and so you will know what's going on. And the key to victory here, in the spiritual or physical realm, is living in His presence. And that's going to be amplified over and over again, living in His presence. Many have, I believe, and you're maybe listening to me this morning, that you have enough of Jesus to be miserable, to know what is not the way to live, but not enough to be joyful. And that's something we all need to be concerned with. We need more of Him than we've ever had before. And hopefully that's why you're here this morning. You want more of Jesus. You want to get closer. You want to understand him better. Because that is our need. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it talks about the power of God's word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts asunder the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it divides the soul and the spirit. What do you mean by that, Jeff? Well, those things that are soulish are fleshly. And those things that are of the spirit are spiritual. So the word of God helps us to stay, to know what is spiritual and what is fleshly, what is emotional, and what is right on for the Lord. So you might say that this is a very pointed, very cutting, a very convicting and humbling portion of Scripture that we're going to be getting into, because the Lord's going to hit us right at home in the heart. Remember, we were studying Wednesday night on Jeremiah 18. Remember, we studied the potter and the clay? And those of you guys that were here Wednesday night, we talked about how sometimes the pressure gets on. And when the pressure comes on, and in the world you're going to have tribulation, but when the pressure comes on, sometimes we jump off the potter's wheel. And the potter is the Lord, and his foot is spinning the wheel, and life is spinning. And the pressures come down, and all of a sudden the analogy breaks down of the potter and the clay. When the clay doesn't have feet, we do. And we just get up and jump off. I'm out of here, you know. Pressure's on. I don't want to deal with it. We jump off the wheel, and we don't get a victory then. We go down, and as clay, we splat, you know. And he looks down at us. Oh, man, why'd they jump off the wheel? It's the wheel that conforms us into his image. It's the wheel and the potter's hands that are so delicate and just honing away at our lives. He knows what's good for us. Let's stay on the wheel. Even when it gets personal, even when it gets real conviction and there's pressure, hang in there. Because the victory is in Christ and it's on the wheel. Sometimes the Lord is saying, come on, jump back on the wheel, man. I want to work with you. Don't run away from me. Run to me. Now here Jesus is continuing to use the Pharisees as a contrast. I guess they were a good lesson. And he always pointing to them and saying, you know, you see those guys? That's not the way to do it. But verse 1, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed, Jesus says, that you do not your alms or your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So this is the principle, and he lays down first the principle. It's a man's heart, his motives. You know, the actions versus attitudes. And a lot of their actions were right, but their attitude, their heart was wrong. And Jesus is, and through this Sermon on the Mount, bringing out, remember, the spirit of the law, not just the letter only. It's not so much the action, but God looks on at the heart, doesn't he? So he gives us, after the principle, these three illustrations of the principle, which we'll look at this morning. The almsgiving, or your righteousness, helping others. Prayer and fasting we'll deal with later. But all are dealing with our relationship with God. In our giving, in our talking with God. Are you talking with God? Do you have a prayer life? And how we mortify this flesh. And that's when we're going to get into the area of fasting. What does that mean? Why is that important? So number one, he says, take heed how you do your righteousness or your righteous deeds before men to be seen of men. There is no reward then. Now, how does this fit with chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 16? Remember that? Chapter 5, 16. Let your light, Jesus says, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And now he says, no, don't reveal it to men. Do it in secret. Go, wait a minute. What's he talking about here? What's the difference? Well, one is in secret and the other one is right out front. But how does this work? Well, I looked into it and I think that we're called to do both. We're called to be a witness, but we're also called not to attract attention to ourselves in being a witness. And that's what he's talking about. Not to be seen of men. The scribes were great at this, the Pharisees. And Jesus pointed them out and he said, look at those whited sepulchers. And you know where he was at. He was on the Mount of Moriah, or the Temple Mount. And when we go in October, I'll show you the very spot that he pointed over to Mount of Olives. And there on the Mount of Olives, there's all these whited sepulchers and these places where they had buried the Jews. And they're all whitewashed and they look really nice. And so he points to the Pharisees and says, you're like these whited sepulchers out there. You're all clean on the outside. You look good to other men. But inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Just really brought it right down to them. They didn't like him because he saw right through them. They love the praises of men. And so a balance is needed, or we can become like show-offs or like the Pharisees in how we strut around with our spirituality, you know? And that's a dangerous place to be in. Sort of like, you know, and I know some of you like to stand up when we worship and all, but, you know, really when you look at the whole thing and when everybody's sitting and we're worshiping the Lord, that's great. But when somebody stands up and starts going like this, then those that are looking, going, what's that guy doing? And all of a sudden the attention's on you because you're going like this. Now nobody else is doing it but you. So, and then the guy behind you, he's trying to see the screen and worship. And so now you're distracting. Not only are you calling attention to yourself, but you're distracting. Yeah, but I just felt led of the Lord to do. Yeah, but it's not everybody was doing it. You see, these are the things we need to think about. And be careful that we don't stumble anybody. But that we are just, yes, truly led by the Spirit. But we're not a distraction. We're not getting in anybody's way from seeing Jesus. Now, the other problem is that we would become then like, you know, a monk, isolated. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to isolate myself and just, you know, hide out, you know. Well, that's a problem too. Show off. Not seen. And Jesus doesn't want us to get into either one of those. There is the balance. So we're to avoid both of them. And the balanced Christian life is to walk in the Spirit, to glorify God, and yet not to attract attention to ourselves. The difference really comes down to this. It's in pleasing of self or in pleasing God. Now, it's so subtle that we could do something saying, well, I'm just doing this for God. But in reality, we're just pleasing ourselves. That's how subtle it is. It has to do with your motive, why you do what you do. There is an action that might be right, but then your attitude is wrong. Your heart is wrong. I have two illustrations of this. It's in Acts chapter 4. And the first one, of course, is when they were all... The Spirit of God has been poured out upon them and everything's going great. People that are rich are selling their things and giving them to the poor. Everybody's being ministered to. Barnabas had a piece of land on Cyprus and he decided to sell it. And then the last verse there in chapter 4 of Acts, he sells it and he gives it to the poor. And everybody's blessed. He did it with the right heart, right action, right heart, and people got blessed by it. But then in Acts chapter 5, there is a husband and a wife that comes up, and they go, we saw what Barnabas did. We want to do the same thing. And then Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their possession of land, but they kept a part of it, part of the price back. The wife knew what was going on also, and then they brought a certain part to the apostles and laid it at their feet. And Peter looked at Ananias and says, why have you lied? Or why has Satan filled your heart and you've lied to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? I mean, the Lord just busted him. He had the right action and he wanted the praise, see? But he was doing the wrong thing, man. He was holding back. And he lied and he said, this is all that I have. And he lied to the Lord. You can't snow God. And Peter just, you know, the Lord just came upon Peter, and Peter had the insight, and he just shared it. And Ananias fell dead right there. Peter said, I didn't touch him. He just died. And then the wife came in, and Peter asked, is this everything? And she goes, yeah. Oh, no. And then she died. Right on the spot. And God just says, I will not have hypocrisy in my church. And thank God that that practice is still not going on today, huh? Or there'd be a lot of people not making it out of this service this morning. But God is merciful. But in the beginning of the church, not so, because he wanted to lay down a principle. He wanted to see, yes, you can have the right action, but have the wrong heart, and you're in trouble. And God knows. That's the teaching. So to be seen of men is really to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. But there's something that we like, this self-gratification. It kind of looks like you're doing it selfless, and yet, digging deep, it's selfishness. My flesh loves and desires man's praise more than God's. And somehow, some way, man gets caught up in caring more about what man thinks than what God thinks. The Bible says that the fear of man is a snare. Oh, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So who are we pleasing? Who are we serving? And oh, God, help us to judge ourselves lest we should be judged, the scripture says. We need to examine our motives. In church, we're praising God, and we look so good, man. We look so good. The brother says, how you doing? Oh, praise God. How's it going? Hey, amen. And then you go home. It's a different story. But therein is the proving ground. Is do we take what we believe and how we live as Christians and take it home and use it at home? Then it becomes reality. And not until then. Because this is all superficial here, guys. It's when what we believe and how Jesus touches our hearts and how we repent to the Lord that we can bring it home and love in the home. Love on our kids. Love on our wives, love one another, and build up our home in the things of God. Then you can do it anywhere, anywhere. So the most important principle is our relationship with God. So he's working with us on this. And our supreme object in life is to please the Lord, is to bless the Lord, to glorify him. So Jesus is our greatest example because remember in John 8 and verse 29, Jesus says, I do always those things that please the Father. So if you want to know how am I to live this life, you're to follow after Jesus because he sought to only please the Father in his life and no one else. He could care less about what man thought. Remember, the fear of man is a snare. He sought to please the Father. So he stayed in the background. He sought to just blend in. Yet at the same time, he could not be hid. Can a light on a hilltop be hid? No. It just illuminates. Righteousness just does that. Holiness does that. And he lived wholly for God, and he sought to glorify and honor his Father. Yet the scribes and the Pharisees, they sought each other's honor. I'm going to show him, watch this, you know. And they did everything before men to get the praise of men. Now, the way out of this, over in chapter 6 there in verse 22, look at this. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So what is he saying? Get your eyes on me. Look to me, and you'll overcome these things that man, you know, gets into. You'll overcome the selfishness. Just keep your eyes on me, and you'll be a light. The second thing that brings us victory is to remember that we're always in his presence. In the presence of the Lord. All things are naked before him who we deal with. God sees and knows everything. Every thought, every action, every deed is known and seen. And what a text to have in your home on a wall just saying, God sees me. Maybe you want to put that next to your computer. That would be a great little saying. Right there, next to your computer, maybe right on your computer, God sees me. He's in heaven, Jesus says, but he sees everything. You can't snow him. He's personal. He's intimate. He knows us. He created us. He knows what we're going through, even that which you're going through now. His thoughts are towards us more than the sands of the sea. Personally, intimately towards us. He alone knows our heart. Over in Luke 16, in verse 15, let me read it to you. Jesus says this, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." You guys understand what he's saying. What a creed to live by. That when I awake, he is there. Wherever I go throughout the day, just to remind myself, God is with me. God is present. You know what this would do? It would revolutionize our way of living on why we do what we do. Someone has said, this is like practicing the presence of God. Wouldn't that be a great name for a book? It was already written by a guy called Lawrence. He already wrote the book. But I think therein is a key, practicing the presence of God, that he is with me at all times, no matter where I go, what I say, or what's going on. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I see that I need to get a handle on this body. So I bring my flesh under subjection, lest having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Because I know that my flesh is my biggest stumbling block. I need to live. God is with me and he'll give me victory over my flesh. And so I won't stumble anybody. So I'll be a blessing to those around me. And of course, the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 139, David said in verse 7, "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Hey, Jonah, where are you going to go? Jonah says, "I'm leaving. I'm running from the presence of God." "Okay, take off. Where are you going?" I'm the other side of the world. That's where I'll get away." He never got away. He can't get away. Where are you going to go? I think with this knowledge, self-conceit, pride, superiority over others will just vanish. You see, we think we are better than we really are. But in reality, we're much worse than we really are. And that's what God's trying to show us.
We're partway through a message called Living in His Presence, and this is Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is our Bible teacher, and today's study was taken from our series in Matthew's Gospel. Here's our toll-free number, which you can use to order this study on CD and other helpful resources from us. It's 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. We also house all of our Matthew messages online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Now you can take Sound Doctrine with you wherever you go, through the Sound Doctrine Podcast. Search for Sound Doctrine Podcast in your favorite app store. And it's also available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Hey, how's your devotional life going these days? Could it use a kickstart? Allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired Word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Authored by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many more. Just give us a call at 800-353-7553. Or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Your financial support is not only needed at this time, but would be very much appreciated. Think of your donation as an investment in the lives of listeners all around the world who make it their aim to build their lives on sound doctrine contained in God's Word. So thank you very much for linking arms with us. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click Give, or call 800-353-7553. There's much more to come in Matthew. Set aside a half hour each day as together we open and study the Word with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is furnished on this station by Calvary Chapel Downey. So